It's really a high honor to get to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ back to back. One thing about, one of the many things about preaching the gospel is that I'm never looking for a new message. I'm never wondering, and I may wonder from where I'm going to preach Christ in the scriptures, but I'm never wondering what I'm going to preach. In my mind and in my heart, it's who I'm going to preach and from where in the Word of God am I going to preach Him from. You search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. Now, if I search the scriptures and I miss Him, boy, that's a sad day for both of us. That's a sad day for both of us. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 93. We've been going through the Psalms back at home, Spring Lake. And I preached from this the other day, and it just blessed my heart to study of it, and I looked at it again. A celebration of the reign of Jesus Christ. We have something to celebrate, don't we? We are a people. If any people on this earth have a reason to shout, it's us. The scripture says, make a loud noise. It's like when a king has achieved a great victory and he's coming back in and the people are shouting. The king is coming. Lift up your gates. So there in Psalm 24, I believe it is. We have something to celebrate. We have a reason to celebrate that the world knows nothing of. The church as a whole, as well as each member of the church, has a reason to shout and to rejoice. Because our King, now listen, our King reigneth. Our Lord reigneth. That makes for a soft pillow to go to bed on at night. When the world, we live in a wicked world. The whole world lies in wickedness, the Bible says. And as I get older, I thought, that's so true. Don't you see it? Don't you see the evil and the wickedness of this world as days go by and years go by? It's just my soul. And yet, you and I can go to sleep at night knowing the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. My confidence and my comfort is not in the might of the U.S. military. It's in the might of my Lord, who's clothed with strength. It says He's clothed with strength. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have the God of heaven and earth as our God and King, and He reigneth. It says in Isaiah 52:7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. I couldn't wait to get here this morning to tell you one more time, thy God reigneth. It's almost like I could just have us stand and for the next hour just shout, thy God reigneth, the Lord reigneth, the Lord reigneth. Let you leaders of the world, you leaders of this earth, listen to us. You shut up and listen to us. The Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth. You don't reign, you little peons. You don't reign. Pilate said, don't you know I have power? Then that's when the Lord kept his mouth shut up until that time. It's like, oh, now wait a minute. You have no power at all except to be given you from above. And he could have just as easily said, you have no power at all unless I give it to you. Because I'm from above, you're from beneath. When that army came out to get him, and they were looking for him, and he said, I am. What happened to the army? They fell down. He had to give them the strength to get back up and finish the job. The Lord reigneth. This psalm is about the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in verse 1, the Lord reigneth. Just write it out like this. The Lord Jesus Christ reigneth. Jehovah Jesus, the Lord, reigneth. And when you see that ETH, that means continually. The Lord reigneth. He reigns absolutely. He has no competitor. The devil's not a competitor to him. The devil's his devil. He created all the angels, didn't he? The devil's not out there running loose. He's not out there running loose. He's under the control and the authority of Jesus Christ. When he wanted to touch Job, he did not just go and touch Job. He had to go to the Lord and get permission. And that hasn't changed. He has no competitor. He has absolute power. Now, it has been said, and it's so with men and women. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You and I, even as believers, if we had absolute power, we would corrupt it. That's sad, but it's so. But we do not have to worry about the Lord Jesus Christ ever corrupting His power. Because it says in the Scriptures that He loveth judgment. Judgment, justice, righteousness. Our King loves righteousness. So His power will never be corrupted, because a person's strength is what they love. It's what they love. If you love sin, that's what you're going to go after. If you love Jesus Christ, that's what you're going to go after Him. If you love righteousness, you're going to go after righteousness. Godliness. The Lord reigneth. He reigneth presently. That's right now. The whole world, the whole universe, the whole host of angels, those who elect and those who are fallen, all of every person on this earth, everything that exists, the Lord reigns right now over them. They go and come at His authority, at His word. At His word. He reigns presently. He reigns continually. There's never a check on His reign. There's no check on His reign. No one can say unto Him, "What doest thou? Why are you doing this?" You see, there's no check. He reigns positively. You know that right now that Jesus Christ, seated at God's right hand, is reigning over everything for our good. You know that? He said, "Well, some things that are going on in my life right now are not any good." If you're a believer, it's good. Now, if you're not a believer, there's nothing for your good. But everything's for you. He's reigning for your good. He's reigning for our good in things that are happening we'll never know about. You take all the host of heaven, the stars and all that. You know those are for our good. The sunshine. We don't think much of it. It gets too hot, we complain. But that sunshine is for our good. The rain has just come down. We gave thanks for it. It's for our good. The Lord knows we need it. It's for our good. He didn't rain because for any other reason than for our good. Our good. And the good of His creation. He reigns positively. He reigns righteously. He reigns sovereignly. It's written in Job. He gives no account of any of His matters. It's none of your business. They said, "What about John?" He said, "You don't worry about John. You just go do what I told you to do. It's none of your business." He reigns. A sovereign gives no account of his... A sovereign doesn't have to give account, does he? Not a true sovereign now. A true sovereign doesn't give account. The subjects give account. We are his subjects. And this is a controversy with lost men and devils. Who is going to reign? Whose will is going to be done? Well, the Bible says His will is going to be done. I will do all my pleasure.
That's what he says. And as far as this matter is concerned, it was settled long before creation who's going to reign and whose will is going to be done. Jesus Christ is the reigning King from everlasting to everlasting. Isn't he? He was born King. Where is he that's born King? He was born King. He didn't wait for someone to die so he could be a king. He's born King. He came in as a king. He went out as a king. He's sitting as a king. He's coming back as a king. He's our king. There's no king like our king. Our king owns it all. He owns it all. Someone said he didn't have to take out a copyright on the bird song because they're his. They're his. The Lord reigneth. Right now, you know what's going on right now? Right now. I know, I can tell you what's going on right now. He's like, well, that's interesting. He's subduing all things to himself. When he finally subdues all things to himself, then he's going to deliver the kingdom up to the Father. But right now, with all the what looks like commotion to us going on throughout this world, Jesus Christ right now is subduing all things to himself. That's what he's doing. He's subduing it. He's not trying to. He's doing it. He's doing it. Now, this being so, think how great he must be to rule over the universe. Men, angels, good and bad, all stars, all planets. Think how great he must be for everything to submit to his word. You know, the scripture says where the word of a king is, there's power. And everything submits to his word. You know, the world right now, this earth we stand on, you know, we can jump up and down on it. You know, it hangs in space only by his word. You know, it says he by him all things created. He has created all things, and by him all things consist. You know what that means? That means maintained. He created all things, and by him all things are maintained. I'm not worried about global warming. I'm not worried about this and that going on, the earth decaying. By him, it's maintained. He's the husbandman. It's his. It's his. And how wise must the Lord Jesus Christ be to order all things to work together in harmony to bring all things under his authority and to serve our good. How wise. How wise. That's why he's called the wisdom of God. And then his reign is glorious. He's clothed, it says, with majesty. He's clothed. He's not clothed with shame. He's not clothed with weakness. Our Lord is no weak sovereign. He's no weak monarch. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Majesty means supreme greatness. He is clothed with supreme greatness. He is clothed with supreme authority. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Well, it would be wise to go to the one who has all authority, wouldn't it? Don't go to the lesser. Go to the greater. He has all the authority. The kings of the earth clothe themselves in material. That's what they are clothed with. You know, they walk out and they get on the royal garb and that someone else has made. Some seamstress somewhere, you know, they put it all together and they've made it. But our Lord is not clothed with such garb. He's clothed with strength and power, majesty. Your majesty. I like that. I like to call him your majesty. That's a good name. That's what it means. Supreme greatness, authority, sovereignty. It means sovereignty. A title used when speaking to or of a sovereign. He is clothed with majesty. But our King is clothed with strength and majesty. and they're His.
Listen, they're His by right, not His because someone else made it and sent it to Him. They say, your robe came in today. Oh, He clothed. You know what He's clothed with? His royal attributes. Power. Holiness. Strength. Unchangeableness. Immutability. Omnipotence. Omnipresent. God. He's clothed with His royal attributes. That's what He's clothed with. His majesty in His strength, listen, is His character. It's His character. Hannah said, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There's none like Him. And then our Lord, He reigns in power. In power. The Lord is clothed with strength. This is good news now. This is good news. He's clothed. He's wrapped about with strength. Listen, the old king said, Daniel, he said with a lamentable voice. Let me read this. I don't know if I have that marked or not. I did. Well, anyway, let me read it to you. I got it written down. I wrote it down. There in Daniel 6:20. Remember when he was cast into the lion's den? The king said with a lamentable voice. He said, Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee? He said with a lamentable voice, oh, Daniel. Daniel, is thy God able to deliver thee? That's a good question. Is thy God able to deliver thee? Well, the scripture says He's able. He's able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. Is thy God able to deliver thee? Is He able to deliver you from your sins? Is He able to deliver you from your sorrows, your grief, your pain? You know, the trials we go through and the pain that it causes. Is God able to? Is He able to make the sun shine again in your life? Is He able to lift you up out of the dust? Is He able to cause you to rejoice and put a song in your heart? Is He able to do that? Well, if it's the God of Daniel, He is. If it's the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able. I have laid help, God said, upon one that is mighty. Is thy God able to deliver thee? He's clothed with strength. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They heated the furnace up 7 times hotter than normal. And they threw them in there. And the king looked in. And he says, we put 3 men in there, but I see 4. One looks like the Son of God. One looks like there's another man in there. We only put 3 in, but there's 4 in there. You know what the Lord said in Isaiah? When you go through the fire, you go through the water, when you go through the water, I'll be with you. I'm not going to stand on the other side and wait for you to come out. And I'm not going to stand over there and watch, make sure it doesn't hurt you. I'm going to be right there with you. And when you go through the fire, it's not going to burn you. It's not going to kindle upon you. You know, when they came out of that fire, they didn't even smell of smoke. I tell you, when God brings you through a trial, a hard trial, you come out of it. Job said, when He has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Gold. Not even the smell of smoke's going to be upon you. No, it's not. No, no. Is thy God able to deliver thee? He's clothed with strength, wherewith He's girded Himself. There's no weakness in Him. There's no weakness. Take any leader that's ever existed on this earth, as far as men go, and you can find plenty of weakness. Plenty of weakness. But none in this one. Pilate examined Him and said, I find no fault in Him. And we can find fault in anything, can't we? We can find fault in anything. But he couldn't find fault in Christ. The Father found no fault in him. Satan hath come and hath nothing in me. There was nothing in him for Satan to get his teeth into. There was nothing there, no fault in him, no sin in him. This is part of his strength, his holiness, his character. Our Lord only had the strength to withstand the temptations of Satan. Adam, he came to Adam and Adam just crumbled, but not the second Adam. He withstood the wickedness of men, the force of their wickedness. He stood up under the wrath of God. He stood up under the wrath of God. He took the full cup of God's wrath. He drank it dry. And you know, for him to die, he gave up the ghost. He said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to die, and I'm going to die on purpose." They killed him at Calvary. Well, the scripture says they put him to death. There's a charge. There is a charge against the human race. But he gave up his spirit. He gave it up. He commended his spirit to the hands of the Father. He's clothed with power. He only is able to bind the strong man of the house. You hear these preachers, "Tell Satan to get out of here." What an idiot. But I tell you what, when he says come out, he comes out. When you read the Gospels, you don't ever hear of any demon, any devil that said, and when the Lord said come out, and he said, "No, I'm not. This is my house." "No, this is my house. You're coming out." When the strong man takes over the house, he kicks out. He kicks out that, when the stronger man takes over the house, he kicks out that strong man. But the stronger man comes in, which is Christ, and kicks him out. Clothed with power. It says in Colossians 2:15, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly." You know, that's what the kings used to do back in that day. They would take their subject that they captured and the kings that they would capture, and they would bring them behind them in chains, triumphing over them. And they'd make an open display of their triumph over their enemies. Our Lord has done that. He's done that. And the world also established that it cannot be moved. That means the world is it cannot waver. It's not shaken. I mean, unless it will fall into decay. He maintains it. He sent the rain here lately, hasn't he? He knows when to send it. He knows when to send it. He knows when to withhold it. Never overlook the daily things that he does, even in weather. Don't overlook that it's his children. We do, but let's not do that. But now listen, here's what he's saying. The stability of the world depends, listen, on the stability of the one who made it. That's what it depends on. It depends, not me and you. It depends on the stability of the one who made it. So listen, this is about the one who made it in Hebrews 1:12. "And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's stable, isn't it? You and I change like the weather, but he changes not. He never changes. No one can remove this world, for no one can remove him who made it. You got to remove him before you can remove the world. The stability of the world ensures the fulfilling of his purpose. You know that? Well, somebody said this. The great design of God is played out on this earth. And we are a part of it. And so this earth shall stand until he has fulfilled his purpose on this earth. And saved his people, made them and make them like his son. And he says in verse 2, "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." His throne is no new upstart. It didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. It's an eternal throne.
It's eternal throne. It's from everlasting. And our Lord's reigning power is seen. Now listen, it's seen in providence. He makes all things work together every day for our good. Every day. It's seen over men. It's seen over Satan. It's seen over our hearts. The floods in verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. We see His control over nature. You realize how violent things can be if they were out of control? I mean, we've not seen anything yet what weather could really do if God turns it really loose. It would just unbelievable. It says in Mark 4, and He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, be still. Be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Thank God for that. We see this in the flood of Noah's day. He sent the great flood and then He dried it up. Provided an ark for the saving of 8 souls there and the animals. You know all the animals we have right now on this earth? All of them. Look at all that we have on this earth. Look at it. It all came in the ark. It was all in that ark. You look at that ark and you say, how in the world can all of this be in that little boat? Comparison-wise. You know, when those Pharisees looked at Jesus Christ, they said, no way. This is not the Savior. And one of these days, we're going to look, stand in glory, and you're going to look at that whole host of heaven. And you know, every one of them was saved in Jesus Christ. They all came out of Him. that man, Jesus Christ. That's amazing. And we see His control over Satan. He cast out those devils. He said, come out. They came out. He controls men, the heart of the kings in the hand of the Lord, like rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever He will. You think the king's just making decisions? No. God's got His heart. His hand is right there. And He's going to do what the Lord wills to do, whether it bring judgment on a country or to release it. And He says in verse 4, I'm going to close this down. The Lord on high, the Lord Jesus Christ on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. There's a lot of commotion going on out there. All the commotion of men just sounds like noise. It's just like the noise of many waters. Well, He's greater than that. He's greater than that. He's not moved. Listen, He's not moved by that. You know, if all you were shouting at me and just, you know, I'd be moved by that. I would. I'd be disturbed. He's not. He's not disturbed at all. He's at rest. You know, when that boat was being tossed to and fro and the disciples were bailing out water and they said, carest thou not that we perish? They had to wake Him up. He was asleep. But here, listen, you know what? He was asleep. That's what perfect faith does. See, Jesus Christ had perfect faith. And He was able to sleep in that storm. Now, the reason you and I can't go to sleep at night when we have trials and heartaches and things like that, the reason why it keeps us up at night, we don't have perfect faith. We can't lay down and say, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. They can do as He will. It's the Lord. It'll be all right. This is of God. And He could do that. But you know what? That perfect faith is our righteousness. It's our righteousness. Oh, he's mightier because he's the mighty God. He's mightier because he's the mighty mediator, seated at God's right hand, interceding for us. He's mightier than the noise of Satan. He's mightier than all. He's mightier than them. He's mightier. Listen, He's mightier than the war that's going on in you. Isn't there a lot of noise going on in you? A lot of trouble. He's mightier than that. He can quiet it down. He can say, peace be still. And then, and you can just have a good, calm, restful day. Peace be. And thy testimonies are very sure. You know what that means? Stable. The Word of God's stable. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. It's stable. You and I may stumble and stutter and fall and crawl around, but that rock doesn't move. And His Word is stable. You can keep crawling out of this. When you fall down, crawl back on that rock. You know, we never fall. Thank God we never fall off the rock. We may fall on it, but we never fall off of it. He doesn't let us. His testimonies are sure. Holiness becometh thine house. God's Word is reliable. It's beyond question. You can take Him at His Word. Every promise will be fulfilled. And God's Word of grace never leads us to sin. I'm going to close. Thy testimonies are very sure, stable. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. God is holy. He demands holy in His house, and He provides it. He provides that holiness. God's house. Now listen, God's house is not a den of thieves. Now we might have been a bunch of thieves. You know, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But he didn't live like a wretch. He knew he was one, but he didn't live like one no more. Now what does all this mean? What does all this mean to the believer? Well, it means safety and security in an evil world. You can go to sleep tonight. The Lord reigneth. He's watching over your house, my house. The Lord reigneth. He watches over our bodies. You know, I've learned this. My body's His. My body's His. You know, when they talk about abortion, that a woman ought to have the right to do what she wants to. It's her body. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's the Lord's. God has given us a body, every one of it. It's His. It's, you know, and for, as a believer, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why we take care of it. That's why we take care of it. But it's safety and security in an evil world. It ensures provision on our way home. David said, "I'm young. I was young. Now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." And it ensures final glory. The Lord reigneth. He said, "Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. I have power over everybody for this purpose, that your elect, your children, shall be saved. I have that power." All right.